So are we live? Okay, outstanding. Hey everybody, Brian Tyler. I'm going to guess from the complete lack of sugar, cream, and other things at the coffee stand that everybody here is awake. They're jived, they're caffeinated in the Seattle way. So let's get through on the on Xbox. So the point of this talk is to go into a lot of the technical detail of Xbox Live on Windows. So I'm the development lead on the team that put this SDK together. And what I really want to talk about is quickly talk briefly about Xbox Live and the SDK itself, but really spend a lot more time going into the details of how some of the different parts work, look at some code, and talk about some of the core feature sets. So first off, how many people here either have built an Xbox Live game, building an Xbox Live game, 360, phone? Okay, got a few. How many people here have played one? Have an avatar? Okay, all right, good. So I don't need to spend a lot of time then on Xbox Live because you know we provide the identity, the gamer tag, the gamer score, avatar, multiplayer, achievements, leaderboards, all the other kind of goodness. And the point of that is really not to change the game, but to extend the game's capability, to add the social element, to add the identity and the pullback into all that. One of the big things that's happened recently is the cloud service, which drives Xbox Live, has switched over to web standards for its communication. So it's now REST and JSON based. We have a single authentication model, so it's all Microsoft account. If you aren't familiar with Microsoft account, you will be by the end of this week. And of course, being the cloud, it supports the play across the various screens. So the SDK, one of the things we said is, all right, well, REST JSON is a very fine way of programming, and a lot of people do it on a daily basis. But really, a lot of people just want IntelliSense, right? They want to go new user dot and see what they can do and start making the calls. So we said, well, to do that, we're going to do a Windows Runtime API. So we first go off and we created that to support all the various languages for Windows 8. And then we said, well, let's go a little bit further and let's really start taking advantage of some of the new features in Windows 8. So, for example, the Windows Notification Service is a good one. It's a generic feature set that you can use outside of Xbox Live. But what we did is we integrated that in with our multiplayer so that game invites and turn notifications would automatically flow through that system without you having to do anything. And then as well, with the sign-in and commerce, we wanted to provide certain UI elements, either leveraging the Windows ones or the ones that Xbox has created, to take away some of the work involved in, you know, authentication and credit card transaction handling. Of course, the runtime itself exposes out all the core features for the Xbox Live set of services. What I'd like to do, though, is focus on a few of these in particular. So downloadable content is probably one of the biggest ones that we've been focused on for this last year, because in the old days, you do a console, PC game, $60, there's your money, you know, the game's over. Today, with the mobile platform, prices are driving to zero, and there's a lot of issues around, well, how do I monetize on this? And DLC is, of course, the big part of that. So we support both the durable, which is the classic map pack type of system, as well as consumable, which is the in-game currency, and that's kind of like the new hotness that's going on for how you make money in the games. We have that fully supported within the app, as well as integration with the Windows background downloader. So that way, even if the user swipes away from the game, if you're downloading that map pack, it will continue happening in the background. The next thing is, of course, we're in more of a mobile world. So offline becomes a very important scenario. You don't always have internet, although I was rather stunned flying to Europe recently that I could actually get internet on the plane over the Atlantic Ocean. But there's still a lot of places where you can't get it, such as apparently Lower Manhattan at the moment. So one of the things we did is we said, well, we don't want to do like a full cloud mesh kind of story, but we want to support core scenarios that are very important to the gamer. So we want to make sure the profile information is there. So when the game launches, you can create the whole welcome experience of, you know, the gamer tag and the avatar image. We wanted to make sure that any of the achievements or leaderboard updates, which, of course, to the gamer is a very important element of their progress through the system, those would also be recorded, and the next time the game connects to the service, those updates will be sent up. And then, of course, for DLC, if you've got a map pack, we wanted to be able to securely report to the title, yes, the user actually owns this map pack, and therefore you can light it up within the game, even if we can't connect to the service. Title managed storage is a really interesting one. And again, I'm just trying to do some highlights on these. There's actually whole talks. There's one at 5:45 today by Avi and John that are going to go into a lot more detail on the TMS as well as the multiplayer. But one of the things I like about the title managed storage is it's two parts. First, it has the classic cloud save mentality, right? So each user gets their own save area or storage area for each title. And that's, you know, very classic cloud save scenario. The global config is one where it's a read-only section to the title, but all titles see the same configuration. So to give you an example of one of the things that you could do with this is imagine that I wanted to store all the hit points for my bosses or the monsters in this global config. When the title launches, it simply goes up, it pulls that data down, and now it can run the game based on those hit points. Well, I'm starting to see in my telemetry that, you know, a lot of people are having trouble getting past level 3. Okay, well, what if we drop their hit points a little bit for boss 3? So I'm going to drop it by 20%. But I don't want to necessarily just blast that out as an experiment. So what I want to do is say, only 10% of the games out there, I want to actually have this value. And that's what the A-B testing is about. So it'll automatically allow you to say, here's the value, and here's the percentage of people querying for it that I want to actually get that. So it allows you to experiment around with the game to try out different ideas and see how things work. We also have matchmaking and multiplayer. So the async concept here is really to say this is about the social and the disconnected scenarios. So this is a lot about, you know, turn-based games or collaborative kind of systems where, for example, you might not even be online. So I can invite you to play a game. Let's say we're going to play Risk. I can invite you to play the game. You're not even there. Next time you connect, you see the invite. We can start playing turns back and forth against each other. And the cloud itself will actually maintain the game state for you automatically. So that way you don't have to worry about, you know, the fact that we're not playing at the same time. And then, of course, the last one is a lot of the security infrastructure we put in place. So authentication is handled by the Microsoft account. We also have authorization that's handled by the Xbox Secure Token Service. And we'll talk a lot more about that guy in a little while. The guy here is, you know, again, imagine you're a child account and your parental controls say whether or not you can do multiplayer. So there's various permissions and authorization capabilities that are built into the XSTS. We've got a federated story for that as well. And again, I'll talk more about that later. And then as well, we provide some enhanced anti-piracy with some server-side proof of purchase to make sure that the user actually owns the title that they're trying to play. So with that, assuming the gods are willing, we're going to try some code. All right. So let's assume we've logged in. And one of the first things we want to do is say hello to the user. So that's called the profile. And that's going to be a REST call out to the service. We're going to fetch that information back, and then the game can render that in whatever the way they want. So again, we map that to a Windows RT call. Just as a quick overview for some of you that are somewhat more new to the Windows 8 programming model, everything in Xbox Live pretty much is going to be asynchronous. It's all the fast and fluid, so we're network-based. You never know how long a network call is going to take, so everything's asynchronous. And if you haven't used PPL, the Parallel Patterns Library from the C++ team, I strongly recommend you go and take a look at it. It converts what is a forest of callback routines into effectively linear code that just changes it together for you automatically. So all you're seeing up here is we're creating a task which represents the asynchronous activity, and then the user profile is the return value. So that's one of our strongly typed objects where we've mapped a JSON into a WinRT type. So we're saying, go create me a new task to go and get the profile. And then you see we do a dot then, which says, okay, when this task has completed, then I want you to run the following code. And so this is actually a Lambda expression, but you can see it just looks like nice serialized code where I go in and I get the user profile, and then I'm pulling out some of the values and then continuing along with the game. So let's just see that run. And one of the first things I want to do is also fire up Fiddler. If you've never used Fiddler before, I also strongly recommend this tool. It's freely available out on the web. And it allows you to capture all the network traffic coming on and off your box, even encrypted. And it has a lot of protocols and filters, so it will identify, for example, HTTPS and JSON, and it just makes life a lot easier. And so when you're programming against Xbox Live, you can take the ease of working with the SDK and the WinRT APIs, but if you are having problems, you can just drop in under the covers and see what's happening. So in that particular case, let's run, Of course, if I had actually set the breakpoint in time. Hey, I caught it. Okay. So you can see here, we've just gone through, we've gotten the task back. So if we drop the Fiddler and ignore the red behind the curtain, this is a test environment, so not all the services are stood up. So you can see here that we've made a post request. So this is the actual line for the Git profile. We made a post request over to profile@xboxlive.com to get a batch group of settings. And if I convert to the JSON, you'll see that basically what we're asking for is a lot of these special IDs. And you might say, well, what are those IDs? Well, each one of the, you know, gamer tag, gamer score, bio, location, that's how we identify them. So you have to know the magic numbers. And then again, on the result coming back, you can see that it returns me back an array of the various values. A lot of them are base64 encoded. So you just have to take that, undo it, convert all back around. And that's, again, the reason why we put this together is because instead of doing that, you just call git profile, and here's your strongly typed object with all those properties. And you just go fetch them. Okay? But this is kind of the repeated pattern that you're going to see throughout the code. In fact, let me switch back to the slides. This is the repeated pattern that you're going to see through a lot of the cloud-based APIs that we offer. You're going to create your task. If you're using C#, of course, you'd use the await keyword. If you're using JavaScript, you'd be using the promises. So all the languages have different methods by which they integrate the asynchronous patterns. But you're going to make the call to, you know, get achievements, unlock achievement, update leaderboard, whatever it is that you're making the call to, create the task. When that comes back, fetch the result, use the system. And there you go. So if we then look at the architectural stack, we start off at the bottom with the core OS components. So we use just standard Windows APIs. In this particular case, IXML HTTP Request 2 is the C++ HTTP stack that we're leveraging. And of course, the JSON parsing that's built in. Next up is the foundation. So this is where our SDK release starts. Service client is a public object you can use that handles all the security elements. So it's the one that's handling the actual sign-in and proof of purchase. We've got the identity, WINS integration through the push manager. Then a series of APIs that are built on top of that. So again, these are all the various categories for the Xbox Live. And then the SDK, right? So samples and docs. I do want to take a quick second to also just highlight the framework component. So a framework, I'm going to put this. When you're working with a cloud system and you're looking at our APIs, we are providing effectively a lubrication. We're making it easy to call those cloud services. That's what the WinRT APIs are around. And you saw from them, it's a pretty straightforward mapping of, okay, well, here's the REST call, and here's the client-side API. But there's a lot of cases where there's actually more work to do on the client than just that. And I'll use downloadable content as an example. So let's assume we're going to talk about a map pack. Well, I can go and buy the map pack with a service call, but then I have to go in and download it. And then I've got to verify the signature of the cab, and I've got to blow the cab apart and install it. And then I have to be able to enumerate what's installed and what's not installed. So there's a lot of those kind of routines that pretty much everybody does, and there's really no special magic sauce or value to the game in particular to differentiate itself. So what we said is, well, let's write that for you. But because this is kind of higher level client code, we might not do exactly what you're wanting, so we distribute that in source. So frameworks are VCX projects where we give you the full source that implements a WinRT API to do a lot of the common scenarios. And again, DLC is for one of the example frameworks that we provide. So that's the terminology that you'll see there. So I skipped over the first part, which is authentication. And I want to drill on this one a little bit more, just because signing in, as you know, is always one of the easiest and most fluid experiences of any system. So the API itself is very, very simple. You simply call sign in async, and we do all the engine under the covers for you. But there are so many different points of failure that can happen in a sign-in process that the important thing for the game to do is to look for those different error codes. And we've got a sample that will give best case recommendations for how you should handle the different cases. We have localized messages for you that support all the Windows languages. But really, it's kind of the key part that you want to make sure that for a game experience, so you can't get to the service, the user's not accepted the terms of service account. You know, it's rare but happens. People get banned on Xbox for cheating. So there are all these different cases that you want to make sure you're handling well in the game. So if we think about what's going on and think about the different cases that can fail, really at the end of the day, this is what we've been talking about, right? I've got my game, and I want to talk to Xbox Live, right? From your point of view, that's the world. Well, to do that, the first thing we have to do is go to MSA. We have to ask for an RPS ticket. So this is basically delegating to Microsoft account the authentication. So I don't care how you're authenticated, smart card, password, facial recognition. I just delegate that over to MSA, and he's going to give me back an encrypted blob called the ticket that proves that you are who you say you are. The next thing is then I need to go and talk to XSTS. So XSTS is the Xbox authorization stack. And you can see we've established a trust relationship. So we've exchanged some certificates, so the two systems trust each other. And I send that ticket as well as some other magic ingredients that we pull on the machine to make sure that we actually have proof of purchase checks. And we send that up, and that's going to return back the token. And then we send that token on with each call. And so we'll see that here in the next demo. So let me remember to set the breakpoints on this one. Okay. And go clear Fiddler out. So we've done the sign-in. Now, first thing you'll notice is we're talking to Xbox Live in Fiddler, but you're not seeing any calls out to the Microsoft account. The reason for that is we're talking to the built-in component in Windows, and it has its own caching logic. So we're going out to it, and it has its own, you know, if you perhaps you're a connected account, so there's no credential prompts that are needed. He's got a cached value of that ticket, and so he's just returning that to me. So the first interesting part is we go, and you can see here, we're going to go talk to the XSTS system. And what we're sending up is a very exciting blob. So again, we've gone off, we've grabbed that ticket, we've grabbed some other magic ingredients, we've done some magic sauce to the whole thing, and we send that package up to XSTS. It's then going to return this fun little looking blob. This is the token. And as far as we're concerned, it's just an opaque pointer. And in fact, you can see the very next thing we do as part of the sign-in, we go ahead and fetch the gamer tag in Zuid, which is the unique ID for the user. And so immediately in the same call, we're going off and we're going to make that same request. And you'll see here that we have a header called authorization, which is just sticking that token into the system. And the reason I kind of wanted to stress on this is when we talk about federated, if you want to make your own requests to a service that is supported by XSTS, that's all you need to do, right? You can use your own HTTP stack, you go to the Xbox Live, you request it to sign in, and you ask us to return you the token. So we'll just give you back the token object, and you stick that into a header, and away you go. And then again, you can see that he's just returning back the information. Okay. So again, pattern looks very similar, very familiar. Of course, this is the part that, again, I stress is very important for the title developer to make sure they're handling for all the different cases that are out there. But of course, we have it heavily documented, and everybody reads the documentation, so no problems there. So talk briefly about federation. Federation is a very long and, it's not complicated, but somewhat complicated topic of around how you do trust between different service systems. XSTS is a Windows, is a web standard. STS is a web standard. So we built on that same thing, so we support the WS Federation infrastructure. We have a lot more detail in a talk that we gave at GDC earlier this year. Martin talked about it in the Entertainment Powered by the Cloud. So if you're really interested, that's a good talk to look at. Also, feel free to come talk to me afterwards. Basically, all the federation is say, we're taking this scenario, and we just want to replace that with your service. Right? So your game has its own cloud service, and you want to provide a single sign-in support. So you just want to federate with us for the authorization. The process is exactly the same. We go to MSA, we get the ticket, we go to XSTS. This time we have established a trust relationship with your game server. So again, you come to us, we sign a contract for this relationship, and we exchange PKI certificates so that we know who we're talking to. Then we get a token back specific for your service, which is an encrypted blob that we then send up, or I'm sorry, that you would then send up to your own service, which can then decrypt it based off the keys that you have. So that's the federation. Let's talk a little bit more on the DLC. The DLC is one of the more interesting ones because, again, this is another case where there's more client-side logic than necessarily just cloud-based. So the DLC is really about three core stages, right? I want to know what I can buy, I want to buy it, and then I want to use it. So we're going to kind of go through those key stages and take a look at how some of those parts are implemented. So the first thing is to talk about the stuff that's available. So when you've ingested the game into the catalog, you ingest up your offers. Right, so this could be various map packs, it could be the magic sword that you're allowed to buy, it could be the magic dragon, or it could be the currency that you want to support in the game. So our job is to provide the API that will let you go and access that data, return it back, and then you will provide your own custom rendering of that based on whatever it is that you want to do. The Xbox Games app also supports this, so we will do a generic rendering to allow you to also sell the content through the Xbox games. But it's always best for you to do it yourself to provide the best experience for the user. So we'll drop in to take a look at that. Now Murphy is beginning. Okay. So let's turn these guys on. All right. So by the way, the sample that we're running here is just the standard PDLC sample that comes with the SDK. So everything that I'm doing is just part of the samples that you have when you download the SDK. So again, we'll start up the marketplace. Let me go clear out Fiddler. So we've gone and fetched the enumeration. So there's a series of calls that are taking place here. One of the first things we're doing is actually also finding out the data that's available. We'll talk about that a little bit later. So let me drop down to the part where we're going to the catalog to ask for the set of values that are there. Now, this is another good example of why having a strongly typed API is very handy. This is the blob that comes back for the various DLC. So you can see it's got all the various information that you're going to need. It's got the artwork, pricing, descriptions. So again, nothing that needs to be hard-coded in your game. You're simply going to take this, render it in your own particular way, and provide it up. So all of this is just going to come back in these offer objects. So again, if I just jump through, not sure how well you can see the debugger font. But you can see here, we've gone and fetched back the value. So there's map pack number 1, 399. There's the download URL to actually go and fetch the DLC. So that's the enumeration component. Let that continue. All right. So the next thing is to buy some things. So as you're familiar, the Microsoft account also has the credit card system attached. So if you're going with the Microsoft Store, you want to buy these things, the user's going to go and attach a credit card with his account. So we integrate with that same sort of credit card transaction system for you. So same sort of thing. When the user decides, hey, I want to buy this map pack, you select it and you make a simple call. Show purchase async, just tell us the offer ID, and then we will go and render that for you. Very similar to sign-in. The interesting cases are, of course, the failure cases, right? Bad credit card, no credit card attached, user hit cancel, whatever the reason is. So in some of those cases, we will actually fail over to the Xbox Games app. So a great example is, let's say the credit card's expired for the user, so he's going to have to go back into his account and reset information up. We don't support that within the game. We tell the user, oh, you need to go do this, and then we will send them over to the Xbox Games app where they can go and update that information, and then the Games app will send them back directly into the title. So it's a seamless experience for the user. We're just leveraging the Xbox Games app to do that. So again, we'll take a look. And this is the one where we really find out if Murphy likes me, because it was not working this morning, and then it was working in the tech check. Of course, we don't know what's going to happen now. So in this case, you can see we've got some durables. And in this case, I'm reporting that I've already purchased this map pack. I haven't purchased this one. And then we have the consumables. So let's say I want to go buy some more gold coins. So I click. Well, let me get the breakpoint set up correctly. So this is the show purchase async. That's the one call you need to make. I say go buy more. Of course, I'm going to spend money, so you need to give a password. Now, what's happening here is we're actually rendering a web page on top of your application. So I'm going to take a brief pause for a moment to talk about this technology, because it's not part of Xbox Live, but it is another very handy part that's in Windows 8. So this is the web auth broker. And it's its original goal was to support integration with things like Facebook or Google sign-in. Right, so for example, if you want to sign in not with a Microsoft account but with your Google account, you need to be able to host the sign-in experience that Google offers. So the web auth broker was the way that it would let you do that. You call out to this out-of-process broker. It renders the web page on top of your system, allows the user to sign in, and then returns back whatever magic cookie is part of that authentication process. And it's out-of-process, again, for security, right? So it makes it a little bit more of a robust solution. Although, of course, our test servers are not being as robust, so I am afraid we're going to see an error here message. Anyway, the point is that was the original goal for this. But the system itself is actually much more flexible. It supports any HTTPS experience. So in this particular case, we're using it, for the credit card transaction. You can use this yourself for any of your game servers. So for example, let's say that you want to have some sort of interaction with the user where you want to host the UI for that interaction up on your game server. So again, let's say that you have purchased currency from Xbox, but you're allowing the user to consume that on your own game server, and you want to provide a hosted experience for that. You can use the same technology. So web auth broker, very handy. Recommend you take a look into it. So he's not going to be very handy there. So we'll come back here And let's see if I can back up to it. No. All right. I'll go forward. Okay. So I've done the purchase flow, and that's going to return back. And it's either going to come back with a success, a failure, or a notice that we've gone to the Xbox Games app and for you to wait for the response to come back from the Games app. But one way or the other, you're going to basically be told your transaction is not complete. Well, you don't actually know what the user's done, right? So we need to go and fetch the values of what's been purchased. There are two key parts to this. There's the durable and the consumable. So on the durable side, we use what we call receipts, right? So it's a signed document that indicates that the user has actually bought this. We will fetch those down. We will do a security check on the receipts to make sure that they're properly signed to let you know that, yes, the user has actually bought this, and we even support that in the offline scenario. Your job is to download the content, install it to your game, and light it up in whatever way makes sense for that particular piece of DLC. Again, this is where the framework comes in, because we build in a lot of that automatically, for example, like the download and explosion. The consumable side is the in-game gold, right? So there are two primary ways that you can use this. One of the first ways is you can use us simply as a credit card transaction system. So you can offload to Xbox the handling of the credit card, so you don't have to worry about the processing of the money. And we will provide that rendered experience. You can then download. So let's say I go buy 1,000 gold. You take that 1,000 gold, you upload that into your server. Excuse me. And then the user can consume that based off your game server. But if you don't have a game server, how are you going to work with it? Well, we built in an ATM-like feature. What this allows you to do is to actually just make consumption calls up to the service. So I go and I buy 1,000 gold points, and we record that under the gamer's account that they have 1,000 gold pieces. Excuse me. I'm sure everyone enjoys hearing me swallow. Okay, so in the game, I then decide I want to spend 50 gold points on buying some sword, or some temporary sword, because again, this is consumable, so you want to make them come back. So I go buy this temporary sword. We make a call up to Xbox Live. We say, oh, by the way, he spent 50 gold. We then get back a new signed document that says they have 950 gold. The key element to this is that it's not supported offline. And the reason, of course, is consumption requires the server to create a signed document to show proof that the money's been transferred. We can't do that while we're offline. This is now a business decision on your part. If you decide that, you know what, I actually think the offline scenario is important enough that I'm willing to deal with a little bit of fraud that might happen in those cases, I will just go ahead and, you know, add up the coins as he uses them, and the next time we get onto the network, I will make a single withdraw connection. Completely up to you. Realize that you might be a victim of fraud, but again, based on your business model, that might be acceptable. So again, just jumping in. Let's jump over to So again, same sort of thing. If you are, this is the ATM-like feature. So you can see what we're starting with up here is we're going to create an array of asset balances. And I'm saying for my coins, I want to deduct by one. So you're just putting in here however much you want. And then if there's multiple kinds of currency or multiple kinds of consumables, you can create an array of those. Make the consume asset call. And then once you're done, you simply go up and say, okay, now refresh my set of signed documents. So that way, the game has a verifiable state of where it's at. So again, remove all of that. And back to the game. Can't connect. Okay, so you can see up here we've got the consumable, so we're going to click use. And again, in Fiddler, you can see we're first making the call out for the consumption. So I'll switch to JSON. So you can see we're saying for the asset ID 1, which is my gold coins, I'm consuming 1. If it returns back 200, okay. I make the next call, which is returning something all that exciting to see, which is another signed blob. So that's the DLC system. Alrighty. So the last one that I want to talk about is our WINS integration. So if you haven't yet, do take a look at the WINS notification service. It really provides a lot of powerful capabilities to enhance your game experience across the board. I know a few games that are very heavily driven. The state engine itself is driven entirely by WINS. It supports 3 core notifications. There's what's called a private or raw, the raw notification, which goes directly to your title, assuming your title is running. It also supports notifications if you're not running. So these are the classic toast and tile, right? So the toast, which you would expect, a little kind of like the Outlook toast, pops up, interruptible kind of experience, as well as then the tile updates. And this is where the live tile experiences in Windows 8 is all driven from, these notifications that get pushed down to let your system know that there's been some changes. Again, what we've done is made the need to talk to WINS unnecessary on your behalf. Right? We handle it for you automatically for the asynchronous gaming notifications. So when you want to do an invite or you want to do turns, we'll handle that for you. So let's talk a little bit about how that works. So we've got 2 systems. When your title launches and you call sign-in, automatically under the covers, we're going in and we're going to talk to WINS. We're going to create what they call a channel. So this is for this app, for this user, on this device, create me a unique pipe for communication. So as soon as I launch the title, I get that. And then I'm going to turn around, I'm going to call Xbox Live, and I'm going to say, here's the channel. Please record this, and it'll store that off into a database. Now, assume that my friend has gone off and done the same thing, so excuse me. We've both done Reckless Racing, systems come up, we've got our connections. So now I go along and I say, hey, I want to invite my friend Bob to go play. So I call invite friend. I don't know anything about WINS at this point. I'm just saying invite my friend. Xbox Live is then going to go to this database to look up. Now, we support the notifications in a variety of ways. We have email, we have the phone, we have Windows 8. So Xbox Live is going to handle making sure it reaches out to Bob in all the ways that it knows how to let them know about this invite. In this particular case, it's going to find a WINS channel. It's going to go and send that information up to WINS, which will then push that down to the friend. Now you might say, well, wait a minute. You said if we had both run the game. Well, what if he hasn't run the game? So the same infrastructure also works for the Xbox Game App. So the Xbox Game App is part of the OS. It's part of the UBI, so it's going to have automatically registered when the user started up their Windows 8 system. So the Games App is already registered in the database. So this is one of those interesting scenarios where I go buy a game, I'm playing it, I really enjoy this game, now I want to invite you to play it. So I'm going to send you the game invite. Xbox Live is going to come along, he's going to look in the database and say, oh, I don't see that game for this user, but I do see the Xbox Game App, so I'll send a notification to that instead. And now the Game App is going to get an update notification. We're going to get a toast to the user and a tile update for the game, the Games App, that says, hey, you've got an invite to play a game. User can launch that, and if the game's not installed, it will take them to the store so they can then go and buy the game and now engage with you on that multiplayer experience. So again, all about just trying to drive that social engagement without having to do a lot of work on your part. So visually, what that's going to look like. So the first one's actually a friend request, but again, this is just a classic example of a toast that's being popped up. And then if you look over here at the Games App, you'll see that when I then have friended with Informal GNU, he then sends me the invite because he wants to play Reckless Racing, which I haven't bought yet. So the Games App gets updated to let me know. So I'll launch the game app. I'll be able to see the notification, click through, and be driven to the store experience. So there you go. So that is the Xbox Live SDK. kind of a trip through some of the core features and what's going on under the covers. We've got this now released on Windows 8 as well as Windows Phone 8. So if you're building Xbox Live games on the phone, pretty much everything we've just talked about here is also available. Some of it's slightly different due to the differences in the platform, but the API set is the same. So you'll be able to share code between the systems. And with that, we'll see if we have any questions. Good question. So the question was that in the consumable for the ATM, you can withdraw. Is there a way to provide a bonus to say, "Hey, I want to give I want to give somebody some extra coins because of what they just did"? Unfortunately, at the moment, the only way to do the addition is actually go through the purchase system. There's actually an interesting point about the ability to do that sideways. One of the ways that you could do that if you've got a game server is, of course, what's happening is a lot of people that do the game servers pull down the entire amount, right? They withdraw the full 1,000 coins, send that signed document up to their server to say, hey, the user's now bought 1,000, and it gets deposited in your own tracking system. And so you can use that tracking system and be able to do that.
Yes? Are you able to talk about avatars at all?
Am I going to talk about avatars at all? No. There is, so when you download the Xbox Live SDK, we actually bundled both the Avatar SDK and the Xbox Live one that I've talked about here into the same package, but it is a different rendering. It is a C++ DirectX 11 rendering API that is public and documented, but other than that, I can't say much. But I can get you in touch with the people on the team if you're interested. Any other questions? Yes, sir.
Do you handle your refunds policy? Say if a user bought a piece of content by mistake or isn't happy with it and then wants to refund that back to the refund that back, how do you handle that? Is that something that we do to do they get re-credited? Do they get the coins get taken back off?
Okay. So the question was, what happens if the user buys something by mistake and they say that, oops, no, I didn't actually want to buy that? So those calls are handled through the customer support line. So if you run into those situations, the user would have to call in. Typically what happens there is they're simply credited back the money. And honestly, I'm not sure what happens on the system. I believe that they would simply still own the system, own that content. We simply would have credited them back the money. But I would need to follow up on that. It's a good question. Any other questions? No 15-minute refund policy, correct. Yes, sir. The cost of using the service? So is there any cost associated with using the Xbox Live? There's no cost in terms of the raw access. However, to become an Xbox Live title, it's not just the service, it's also the full branding experience. So you would come in through either our second or third party channels. So Microsoft Game Studios is an avenue in, as well as our third party partnership systems. So you would come in, work with us, sign the contract, and then make the calls. But once you're actually in the system, the calls themselves, the storage, everything else is free. The actual business terms I will need to direct you to business people because I'm a dev. I understand hex. I don't understand dollars. Okay, so good question. We have Windows Phone, Windows 8. What about the 360? So the 360 has supported these APIs for quite some time. So you can do all the same things with the 360. We just don't have this same SDK. And the primary reason is the connection for the 360 is a very different protocol. It's obviously a much older protocol because the 360 has been around for a while. So the way that you talk to those endpoints is different from the REST-JSON, although the REST-JSONs are now starting to be supported on the 360 as well, so you've got a couple different options for talking to it. But the SDK itself is only available on Windows Phone 8 and Windows 8. Hey, yes, sir.
Do you have any
Okay. Right. So the question is, what is exactly, if I've got a game, can I just start using this? Do I need to go through an approval process? How exactly does that work? Today, the Xbox Live system is tied both to the cloud service and to the branding infrastructure. So to use the Xbox Live system, you need to be within the branding portfolio, which means working with Microsoft and signing a contract to do that. The exact process by which you come into that is more handled on the business portfolio. So I would need to direct you to the either the second or third party teams that handle that process. I only can tell you about the technical aspects. If you want to talk to those teams, please see me after the meeting. Or, sorry, presentation. Yes, sir.
Is there anything like an Xbox Live indie games kind of tier within Windows 8? At the moment, you can do indie games and you can do the easier submitted content thing. Can you do that within Windows 8 if you don't want the achievements? You just want to get out and you want to kind of expand that one?
I think what you're asking is basically, can you do an indie game on Windows 8 without having to go through the Xbox Live? You mean the indie games that are available on the 360? Okay. To my knowledge, there is not yet a indie equivalent on Windows 8. However, again, I would need to direct you to the folks that run the business program. Once you are in the system, I can definitely answer questions because all the customers have the same access, so we use the same technology. How you actually get into the system is, again, that's part of the business system, and I'm not sure what they're developing there. Yes, sir. So the question is, do game invites work across titles, for example, on the same title, but across Windows Phone or Windows 8? And yes, they do. So you can do cross-screen invites and gaming.
And would that include the 360?
Does it include the 360? Yes, it does. In fact, at GDC earlier this year, we did a demo of Blackjack where we had a Windows Phone 7, a Windows 8 machine, and a 360 all playing blackjack together. And the 545 presentation, I believe, is going to talk more about kind of that experience, that cross-screen experience. Any other questions? How are we doing? Is it? All dried up? All excited? All knowledgeable? Full? Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate your attention.